Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Singing for Your Soul radio show. This is Kimberly Harrison, your host today, and I truly hope that we will be exploring information together that makes your voices and your souls sing. And I really, really, really mean that from the depth of my being. Singing for Your Soul is my voice coaching business, where I work as a vocal empowerment coach and a voice teacher. So it's all about learning to use our voices well for singing and for speaking. But it's also so much about asking ourselves what makes our soul sing and finding ways to move towards that in our lives, finding ways to live that really make us feel amazing and connected and basically like our souls are expressing themselves, which to me really means that my soul is singing, right? So it's a phrase that I often use with myself, and it's a phrase that I use in my work with my clients to determine what we want to be moving towards, both in our singing and in our speaking, which when we're doing them well, they really free up a lot of energy and creativity for us when we're channeling our voices and embodying them well in our lives. And then it's also about how that ends up showing up in our lives, how following our inner guidance leads us to more and more amazing experiences in our lives and more joy. So on today's show, actually, I just want to tell you something funny. My partner, Marvin, you'll be hearing a little bit more about him today, and he does this thing where he will tease me about singing for your soul. So he'll sing in this really crazy or silly or really obnoxious voice. He'll just sing something ridiculous. And then when he's got my attention, like when I finally have to pay attention to him, he'll say, "What? My soul is singing. This is how my soul wants to express itself." And, of course, so he's got me at that point because that's the name of my business. It's what I do. I try to really help people to be more self-expressed. And he knows that I can't hypocritically turn around and be judgy about his singing in that moment. So I really love it. It's really funny when he does it. And it really keeps me from taking myself too seriously. It keeps me kind of lighthearted and silly. So I don't know. I just wanted to share that just now. So in today's show, we're going to be talking about something that's very exciting for me personally, which is that Marvin and I are releasing our first duo album together this week, like Friday. And it's pretty insane because of how it all went down, and I'm going to be sharing some of that story today. So we recorded from start to finish, let me put it this way, from conception of deciding, okay, we actually are going to do this year, we're not going to let another year go by of saying we can't do it because circumstances are not helping to support the situation. So from deciding that we were going to record the album to this Friday is less than a month. And that's a lot. We had to create the arrangements, we had to record, we had to figure out how to record harp, which is, I will talk more about that later, but it's crazy. And we basically had to put this whole thing together, including marketing, and we put together a bunch of concerts very last minute as well. So it has been a total whirlwind. We're both also, by the way, working more than full-time in various endeavors. So it has been interesting, and most of our Thanksgiving break was spent recording the album. So I am so grateful, though, for this process. And one of the things that was the most amazing was how comfortable I felt doing the recording. Recording can be an interesting process. You've got a microphone a few inches from your mouth, and it's picking up everything. And when you listen back, if you've never done it before, it can be very disconcerting. The more you do it, the more you get used to it, but there's still, you know, human error. I'm still an imperfect singer, and now on top of it, I'm a voice coach, so there's that added pressure of, ooh, I should be really good at this. So it was really interesting, but I feel that I was able to embrace the experience more than ever before, including my imperfections as a singer. And just the way that Marvin, who was in charge of all of the recording and mixing and mastering and everything, he just treated me so well, and he created such a safe space and was so supportive yet impartial to how the process was happening. And it just gave me such freedom. It was amazing. I told him he's my new sound engineer forevermore, because sometimes it can be a little nerve-wracking when you're in a studio. I've had those kinds of experiences. But I don't know, in the past few years, I've just been creating really wonderful studio recording experiences, and I'm going to keep on that. So the album is very simple. There was no time for fancy edits. It's unphotoshopped, as I'm calling it, which means that there's no fancy stuff that happened with this album. We didn't even use auto-tune, which is almost an indispensable tool in the industry these days. We did not auto-tune anything. We did not correct all of the tracks. We didn't even have time to do sound editing on the tracks, in other words, to fade things in or out very much. So most of the takes are just what you hear is what happened in the studio. There's nothing fancy to cover any blemishes at all. So that's been interesting. So I want to back up a little bit, and I'm going to weave a few different stories in here today. And I think the main theme, so I've been thinking about this, at least for me in my life, I know that one of the main themes that I came to explore is imperfection. Embracing it, and that these stories that I'm going to tell today are a large part of some of the lessons that I've been learning around that. So it starts a few years back. Marvin and I were both doing pretty well individually, financially, and we then had some circumstances that happened that put us into some really serious financial hardship. And we both lost our life savings, and we both ended up starting over businesses from scratch as well. And part of that was our choice. I'm not saying that it just happened to us. I look at this as a co-creation, and I'm seeing, in retrospect, a lot of the amazing gifts that this experience has been. And one of the amazing things is that the stress has ended up bringing us even closer. It didn't push us apart. It made us more of a team and more understanding of each other as we went through these things together. So it's helped us to clarify that we have very, very similar visions of what we each want to create in our lives. And it's been so amazing to be working together with a partner towards something, even through all of these challenges, and learning as much as we've learned about ourselves and one another, and growing in the ways that it has called us to grow, and to really find out how well we work as a couple, and how to be patient, and how to avoid hot-tempered emotions that can be brought up by frustrating situations. So we don't get that frustrated anymore. We've really been through some frustrating stuff, and it just got to a point where it was so silly that it just became silly. So we've just really learned how to kind of breathe deeply and move through a lot of things that used to throw us. So the reason I bring this up is because at the beginning of our financial struggles, a good amount of Marvin's recording equipment was actually stolen, and we haven't been able to replace it yet because we're still in the financial rebuilding phase right now. And that has been interesting because when we came to record this album, although we have a number of wonderful musician friends, and even we have a friend who has an amazing studio that we would have loved to use, but what happened is that there really wasn't time. By the time we made this decision that we were going to jump into this album, we just didn't have time to go somewhere and ask somebody else for help. So we just decided to do it ourselves. And it's meant that we're using equipment that, well, we wish we could have used other equipment, let me put it that way. But we made do. We made it work. And it was very interesting, but also a great learning experience. And the thing that's so amazing about technology these days is that you can do pretty much incredible things with very little. In fact, I don't know who it was, but I heard that there was someone who won a Grammy for recording. They did the recording for the album in the car. I think he didn't have another place to record, and so he did his vocal and guitar tracks in his car. And to me, that is so inspiring, and that so speaks of the human drive to create and to find a way and to make it work no matter what. So that's a bit of what we have done here. And what ended up happening is that we have ended up with a very stripped down album, and it's harp and it's voice. And there's one track where Marvin's also doing hand percussion, and you will hear that a little bit later today. But the rest of most of the rest of it is just harp and voice. So this album is called A Traditional Christmas, and it's really so interestingly an instance of us really getting over our perfectionistic artistic tendencies and really embracing our humanity, our imperfections, our little foibles, and just going for it anyway, and not taking no for an answer, and not saying for one more year, oh, we just can't get to it, we'll have to wait until next year. We just both came to a point where we said, no, enough is enough. We're not going to play that game anymore. And there's a spiritual posture that I feel like I've been stepping into more and more in the past few months. I mean, I can see that the trend has been over the past few years, but the past few months, there's really something coming up, and it's really this badass feminine spiritual warrior energy that I feel I'm becoming more present to and more of a channel for. And in fact, a few weeks ago, something really shifted in me in a good way. And it culminated in this moment that I had where I was standing by myself in this little metaphysical shop in Brooklyn, Michigan. It's called Ghidra's Emporium. And I just love, as a side note, I love Ghidra's Emporium. If you are local to Michigan, the store is actually moving to a new location in Adrian, Michigan. And I highly, highly recommend a visit to it. It's just an amazing store. Paula is a good friend of mine. And she's got a wonderful space. She has wonderful things that she offers people. So it has been an incredible gift, Ghidra's Emporium, in my life. So I was in Ghidra's by myself. Actually, the store was not open. And I was standing there in the midst of incense and candles and stones and crystals. And she's got Native American peace pipes and sage. And it's a very sacred space. And right there, something took over in me, and a broader and wiser part of myself. I really felt guiding me to step into more of my power. And it was like this intense reclaiming of this goddess-like grace. And I really calmly and lovingly, but very resolutely, declared that for myself and for everyone else on the planet, I was actually going to call forth more ease and more flow and more grace in all of our lives, however that looks to each of us individually. And what's so incredible is in that moment, it actually felt like I absolutely had the power to call forth that desire, that I could call forth more ease and flow and grace, and it would be so. Not that it would be so in the way that I wanted, but that it would be so nonetheless. And it was not an egotistical calling forth, like, I'm so awesome, I can do this. It was really humble, because life has definitely knocked me down off of my high horse enough times that I know not to get back up there with too much panache. So, really, the spiritual warrior is humble. It's humble because life experiences lead to humility. You know, all of those crazy things that we go through can really lead to this deep beauty and connection and humility. So on that day, I really came to a place where I could see with much more clarity how this experience has been serving me. And I could see where I've grown, and I could see the longer term benefits of all the manure that got plunked down and was steaming and hot and smelly and distasteful in the beginning, but that in the long run actually can create this really fertile and rich soil. And that if I do the work of tilling and nourishing that soil, and that would be through noticing and through being with what is and not pushing against, and through practicing compassion and self-compassion and detachment, then some really phenomenally beautiful crops will eventually begin to spring up. So the really cool thing is that since that day, and since a few nights out under the moon of just really stepping into power as a creative being, the flow is really coming back. It's like a dam broke in my life, and all of this water that was being held at bay is rushing forth. And part of that flow included Marvin and I making the decision to do this album, even though we knew it wouldn't be perfect and that the circumstances weren't ideal, they were far from ideal, and that we would have to bust our asses to actually make this happen and really make some sacrifices. But with this added element of ease and flow that has, again, appeared in my life, because it ebbs and flows, right? We go through phases where things are just really flowing, and I've been through those phases in my life, and then sometimes it's more of an ebb. It's not flowing anymore. There's the ebb, the natural ebb of the tide or the natural waning of the moon, and then they come back, right? So we go through cycles like that in our lives, and sometimes when you're in the ebb cycle, it can be challenging to keep sight of the fact that the flow will come back. But what's very interesting is that along with this new flow that has come back in this particular phase that I'm going through, I'm noticing that feelings of frustration that have generally been rising up when frustrating scenarios manifest, I've been able to step away from those feelings and not experience the frustration. Or I might start to, and then I'm much more quickly able to catch myself and just say, you know, it's really not worth it, and it's really not that big a deal. Just let it go, and really let it go. So the situations are still there, but the way I'm responding to them is different, and therefore my experience is different and much happier, even if the same things are happening. And what I realized very clearly, in fact, a voice said this to me this morning about a different topic, that the situations will stay with me until I have let go of my attachment to them. So I'm pretty clear about that. And, it, you know, it's cold here in Michigan right now. It's not terrible. It's actually been some really cool weather. Cool meaning weather that I really like. It's been very invigorating. And it feels like a metaphor for life, that cold air really invigorates me, and life will do that. It will invigorate us with these challenges, and then it will at some point soften up and wrap us up in this warm, fluffy blanket and just love us up when we're ready to come in from the cold. When we've gotten that lesson, we've gotten that thing figured out, it will just be so loving to us. So I'm experiencing that right now, and it's a great feeling. It really is. So I'm going to be sharing some of the songs in a little bit here. And when I look at this album from a vaster perspective, I can really see the perfection in it. I can see how, because of the circumstances and the time constraints, we needed to do something that was very stripped down with just harp and voice. And it's not something that as musicians we would have initially chosen. You know, we probably would have wanted cello and of other instruments, and we can do that in the future. But right now, what circumstances necessitated was that this is going to be harp and voice, and that we weren't going to be able to spend months recording and pay a bunch of other musicians to add in other parts and pay for a recording studio and have a super pros doing the editing and the mixing and the mastering. What it really is just the two of us and poor Marvin trying to figure out how to record a harp, which is super challenging. The sound of the harp is so complex. There's so much going on. It's just very challenging to capture that with the equipment that we had. And on top of it, the harp, when we made our move from California to Michigan, it cracked somewhere during the move. I think it was the weather change or something. But the harp actually cracked and the top arm is coming off, and it's caused some problems with the tuning and the strings. So some of the strings actually buzz. So we've actually Marvin glued the harp back together to keep it alive until we can get a new harp. The harp that we really want is $10,000. So we've got our harp and it's working great, but there is some buzz on the strings and it creates some sounds that we really can't do anything about right now. And of course, everything gets amplified when you do recording. So those buzzes were interesting to deal with. That's my favorite word for things when I don't know what to say about them, except they're interesting. So we went with it, and it's rustic, okay? Now, I really see this as something that we both needed at this stage in our development to really step into this anyway. And it's what I work with clients on, stepping into things anyway, getting over that perfectionistic side, not listening to that voice that's beating us up and telling us that we have to do it perfectly, but listening to that voice of creativity that just wants to create for the sake of creating and that just wants to share those creations for the sake of sharing. So it's kind of one of those vocal empowerment coach heal thyself scenarios, and we've had a lot of bonding and healing that has been done through this album. And I really hope that that will continue to ripple out into the world as we share it. Now, there's something else that's interesting to me, which is that this is a Christmas album. And I've been thinking a lot about the lyrics of some of the songs that we've chosen for the album, songs like Silent Night, which we're going to listen to in a little bit. And In the Bleak Midwinter is another song. I don't know if some people might not know that song, but it's a really pretty one. And what else is there on there? Coventry Carol. Luli, luli, a little child. That might be one that people know. So these are Christmas songs, and they're songs that we knew that we could put together very quickly at a time of the year when we were going to be doing some performing and then we'd have some albums to sell at our shows. And these songs are, a lot of them, about the baby Jesus. And, you know, one of the things that's most striking about the story of how he came to earth is that he had such humble origins. He was born into and laid in a manger. He wasn't born in the manger, but he was born in a stall and laid in a manger, and then the heavenly hosts were singing and the angels and the shepherds and the wise men came to visit. And I feel like all of that has become a part of this album. And I'll talk about the non-denominational aspects of this in a little bit, but it just has felt like this album has ended up fitting. Even the song The Little Drummer Boy, which we practiced a couple nights ago because we're going to be performing it in some of our shows, I was thinking about it, and this sweet little drummer boy, his gift to Jesus was his drum playing, and the baby smiled at him. And it's just reminding me that it doesn't always need to be this fast, slick, fancy super expensive, amazing, giant production, it can sometimes take place in the quietest and most humble of places. So that has been a pretty neat discovery that I've made as we've gone through this process. And these really simple musical arrangements that have come out of this are really haunting, and in fact, they're quite out of the ordinary these days. You know, we're so used to hearing super produced and engineered and perfectionized albums, just like we're used to seeing these super photoshopped images everywhere that subconsciously have this tendency to make us feel inadequate and like somehow we're supposed to be these superhuman, super perfect, super beautiful, according to the standards of the beauty industry, people. And music has become a lot like that too. What we hear is not really the sound that people actually make. It's produced, every flaw auto-tuned or magicked away kind of sounds that we're hearing these days. And it's really refreshing to have something simple and stripped down. And, you know, you can hear some wavers and some imperfections in my voice because the tracks are raw and they're unedited and they're just simply added reverb. We didn't have time to re-record them and re-record them to perfection. And so many of the tracks that you're going to hear were done in one take or at the most three or four takes. And it's pretty much what I sang is what you get. And it's not perfect, but it's heartfelt. And that's what I'm really proud about in this album. And at this stage of my own personal development, I used to have so much anxiety over my imperfections in my appearance and my imperfections in my voice. And I've walked through those fires, and I'm coming to a whole new level of comfort with who I actually am versus this goddess-like version of who I thought I should, quote-unquote, be. And it's so much better to just be me and human and not trying to paint over or hide the flaws. And it's a practice. I have to practice it. But really, it's that cliche, you know, be who you are. But it's a cliche because it's true. And sometimes it just takes quite a journey to find out who it is that we are and then to get okay with it. You know, we have so many societal and family and self-created expectations and benchmarks. And when we can just drop them for a bit and just be, that's just really powerful stuff. So sharing this album with the world is a whole nother level of that kind of practice for me. And I know that I can breathe through it and be with it at this point, and that's a pretty powerful place to feel that I am within myself. So I think let's take a break here and listen to Silent Night. And just before we do that, actually, I had meant to do a little centering before we started, and I just got going and forgot. So let's just take a moment, if you can, with me to just take a few deep breaths, to feel yourself coming more into your body, to feel your feet on the floor, your sit bones if you're sitting, you know, whatever position you're in, get as comfortable as you can and as present as you can to just what is happening right now. And just take a few deep breaths. And I want to invite in whatever it is that you would want to invite in, whether it's your higher self or your higher power or source energy or angels, teachers, guides, spirits, ancestors, whoever it is or whatever energy or concept it is that you want to call forth right now, go ahead and just invite that in. If it's your own internal wisdom, whatever that is for you, just bring it in and breathe. Breathe it into your heart center. And now just feel a connection between the top of your head and your third eye, right between your eyes above the bridge of your nose and your heart and your torso and your pelvic floor. Just bring awareness to those areas of your body and just feel the connection between them. Feel the energy moving between them, the awareness, and connect them and let your breath deepen. And I'm hoping that as we listen to Silent Night, if the words aren't words that resonate with you, maybe the idea of a simple baby, which is in the song, the baby Jesus, but of a baby and a mother's love and of the simple day-to-day experiences that are miracles, the coming of life into the world, the miracle that it is, and the joy that is brought forth and the new life that is being brought. And we'll just go ahead and do a meditation as we listen to this song, Silent Night. Okay. Just a few more deep breaths. You can stay in that place if you want, if you were in a meditative state. I hope you were. And, you know, another piece of the simplicity theme is really the heart of these songs, which is that they are really folk songs. A lot of these songs are just so simple, but so exquisite in their simplicity and in some of the turns of phrase that happen. And it really does remind me of those shepherds who worshipped, or the little drummer boy who played his drum for the baby Jesus, and the simplicity of just being one who's contributing what one has, because we each have something so beautiful to offer, whether it's the gold, the frankincense, or the myrrh, the very expensive and wonderful healing gifts of the three wise men, or it's the simple song of the little drummer boy. And so this music itself has that simple earthy quality. And within these beautiful melodies and these Christmas songs, these beautiful melodies and chord patterns, there's something very magical. And it has to do with the overtone theories. And that is a whole other discussion. I can't remember if I've talked about it very much before on previous shows, but the overtone series is something that happens, and the simplest way I can say it is that when we sing a fundamental pitch, for instance, if I sing, ah, within that note, there are actually other notes present that are giving that note its characteristic sound, and those notes are called overtones, and there's a series in which they show up. It's actually based on the laws of physics, and the first note that shows up, for those who know a little bit about music theory, is an octave higher, eight notes higher. So it's the same note, but it's just eight notes higher. It's moving at twice the speed, sonically, twice the hertz of the note that's the octave below. Then a note that's a fifth shows up. And the fifth is the first interval that shows up in the overtone series. And because of that, it's a very powerful interval within music. And it's in fact, there's this thing in music theory called the circle of fifths. And it's just how you cycle through all of the notes and you get to each of the notes if you keep going by fifths. And a lot of these songs are based on chord patterns where there are fifths. And in this music, when you have an open fifth, it pops up even more overtones. And it's very healing. It pops up overtones into the area of the brain, not the area of the brain, the area of the overtone series that actually has been shown to recharge our brain and our body. It's a very healing place. So when we sing these kinds of melodies, or for instance, Gregorian chant, Tibetan overtone singing, and a lot of folk songs, this overtone series is very present, so it's actually very healing, just by the nature of what the music is. And what's also very cool is that the human voice is above and beyond the most healing sound that they have found. It's very healing, and they've done studies, and it continually blows other instruments away as far as its effects on helping to heal through sound. Now, a very close second to the human voice, though, is the harp. It's one of the most recognized healing instruments, and I think you know why. I mean, it's just an amazingly magical and mystical instrument. And it has this very palpable and immediate effect on our bodies and our minds, which is why it's so commonly used in hospitals and nursing homes and places that people need healing. So, you know, in fact, on Thanksgiving, we had family over, and after dinner, Marvin quietly went over and sat down and started playing the harp, which was sitting in the living room. And a few minutes later, you could tell the difference in the room. And then people started saying how calm and wonderful they felt. And it was really a beautiful moment to experience that together as a family. So the songs themselves, I think, are really being served in this instance. If we want to use this album as a sound meditation to quiet ourselves and to go within, to really use the sparse arrangements of the harp and the voice to help and to realize that it's creating this healing music that can really have a very profound effect. So I want to share a story, but before I do that, actually, let me go to announcements. So I teach voice lessons worldwide online via Skype. I have a number of students on Skype, and I'm also on faculty as a voice teacher at the Jackson Symphony Orchestra Music School in Jackson, Michigan, and I teach privately in Brooklyn, Michigan. If you're wondering about doing in-person lessons, I offer private voice lessons, voice classes, voice workshops for professionals, and voice workshops for things like yoga teacher trainings or for people who want to use their voices in a more conscious way and as part of their self-development. I also do sound healing performances with voice, harp, Tibetan bowls, and frame drums. And I'm currently facilitating a wonderful Singing for Your Soul voice class at Corinthians Church in Jackson, Michigan. We have two more classes coming up. One is this Sunday, and one is going to be on another Sunday in December, which we haven't decided quite on yet. Those are after the service, and the service generally gets over around 11, so we usually start around 11:15 to 11:20 is when the classes start. And you're welcome to come join us. We're exploring our voices as windows to our souls and portals to the divine. And the group is just a wonderful group of people. I'm absolutely loving it. We sit up, there's a portal on the altar in this church, and they have some beautiful crystals in the center, and we all sit around. And they've got pictures of a number of different ascended masters hanging up, Yogananda and Gandhi and Jesus, and it's just a really, really one of the most special experiences I've had in doing group voice work as far as the place and also the people and how open they are to it. So if you'd like to stay in touch and receive a free copy of my ebook, which is called 6 Tips to Skyrocket Your Speaking, Singing, and Self-Confidence, you can join the mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com. And you can also stay in touch through Facebook at facebook.com/singingforyoursoul. And finally, I want to announce our Christmas season lineup. So Marvin, Riley, and I will be performing a traditional Christmas program, a number of the songs from our album and songs that are also not on the album. And the concerts will feature voice, harp, hand percussion, drones, and Tibetan bowls in haunting arrangements of beloved Christmas songs and newly composed songs. We'll also be doing some sing-along with people. So our current performance dates and locations, we have Friday, December 4th at 8 p.m. at Interfaith Center for Spiritual Growth. That's at 704 Airport Boulevard in Ann Arbor. We've got Saturday, December 5th at noon at Grass Lake Public Library for the Grass Lake Tree Lighting Ceremony. And that's at 130 West Michigan Avenue in Grass Lake. We've got Saturday, December 5th also. So we have two performances that this coming Saturday, which is why we have to have the album done so fast. So Saturday, December 5th at 4 p.m. at South Jackson Community Church in Jackson, Michigan. And Sunday, December 20th at 10 a.m. at Corinthians Spiritual Center, 1805 East Ganson Street in Jackson, Michigan. And then Sunday, December 27th at 2 p.m. at St. Catherine Labore Church. I'm actually not sure I'm pronouncing that right. It's L-A-B-O-U-R-E, St. Catherine Labore Church, which is 211 Harmon Street, Concord, Michigan. And all of these concerts this season are love donation-based. And if you're interested in attending any of these performances or purchasing our new album or taking voice lessons or classes, or if you'd like to schedule a workshop, a performance, or even donate to support our recording and performing efforts, you can send an email to info@singingforyoursoul.com or 310-439-9862. You can reach me on the phone. All right, that was a lot of announcements. So feel free to just email me if you have questions about any of that. All right. So I want to quickly tell you this past life regression story that I had before we play the next song. So I have only had one past life regression. I've done quite a bit of hypnotherapy in my life. I've done lots of EFT. I've done all sorts of things. But I've only had one past life regression, and I did it because I had a very, very, very traumatic and challenging situation going on, and I just needed help coming to terms with it. And I thought that this would be, I felt intuitively that this would be helpful. And it was. It was incredible. And how this relates to the music that we're talking about today is that in this past life that I visited, I was a monk. And there was a lot of talk. It wasn't even talk. It was just this feeling that immediately flooded over me of this beautiful pastoral place and this community, this beautiful community that this little village and these monks had created together. And there was this really seamless flow between communal life in the town and life with the monks and how they helped take care of the animals. The first vision that I had as I was just figuring out where I was I was there and I realized I was a monk, and I realized I was waiting for the sheep to come back from the fields. The shepherd was bringing them down from the fields, and I just had this feeling of joy and love, and I said, I love the sheep. I said, or whoever said, Frère Jacques was actually his name, which if you've ever done past life regression, it's interesting because your conscious mind can kind of get in the way and go, yeah, right, you are so making this up. But then at the same time, there's all this wisdom that's coming through that you could not even create if you wanted to. So that was kind of his experience I had when I found out his name was Frère Jacques. I was like, yeah, right, okay, Frère Jacques, Frère Jacques. Anyway, so I really had a very strong sense of this Christian-based life that was very beautiful and non-judgmental and non-violent and community-based. And that was a big deal for me because I have had some great struggles and resistance in my life with religion. Specifically, I grew up Catholic and had some, you know, tough experiences with that growing up and not feeling like it fit who I was, and having some really dogmatic and very strict ideas about things. And then in my 20s, turning away from all of that and really, you know, going out on my own to explore other possibilities of spirituality. And it was very healing for me to realize and remember and reconnect with places where Christianity has done so much good and created so much beauty in the world. And yes, many wars have been fought in religion's name, and the dogma and the dysfunction doesn't really work for me any longer. I don't think it's working for our world anymore. We're you know, letting go of a lot of those old paradigms. But what I learned in this experience was that I didn't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I could still connect with what is beautiful about religion and religious music and religious text, that kind of sounded weird. I hope it came across. Anyway, I could connect with those things, and there would still be great good that would come out of it. So I was also reminded that because of that life and other lives, I was bringing forth knowledge and awareness and a very profound experience of music, specifically medieval music, which I've always very deeply connected with, and also with the music of the spheres, which is this medieval idea of basically everything in nature and in the cosmos creating heavenly music that even though we can't hear, we can still experience it. It goes back even to the Greeks. It's not just a medieval idea, but it was very big during that period of time. And so that's always another thing that I have connected very strongly with in this lifetime. And they were, you know, sharing with me that this is knowledge that's meant to be shared. What it is not meant to be is perfect. That, again, there's this rustic nature to the music that these monks were creating. They were not all these superb musicians, but they sang and they played with music and with heart. And that in itself is a thing of beauty. and joy. So they explained that they, being guides or my own higher self or whatever was coming through in this experience of past life regression, it was clear, I spoke of how just as the music of the rural church or of a rural church in the Middle Ages was not perfect, but it was very rustic, that my voice in this life was not meant to be perfect, that my wounding in life would show through as little wavers in my voice. Those little wavers that I've been trying so hard to get rid of with training and work and voice strengthening. And what they said to me was, they are just going to keep coming through. And instead of trying to hide or squelch them, they asked me to practice embracing them and remember that it's not about being perfect. It's about connecting with others. It's about embracing our imperfection. It's about being vulnerable and being in community, and even about having music as a central meeting point, at least for me in my life. And I think as a general trend in our world, that's becoming more and more a thing where people are wanting to create their own music. And that was very much part of what I brought forth in this experience. So fast forward to us recording this Christmas album, and I never in a million years thought that I'd be recording as my first duo album with Marvin, a Christmas music album. But that's how it happened. And as I was singing these songs and pondering the meaning of the words, thanks in large part to what I really learned during this past life regression experience, I was able to really let go of a lot of preconceived notions of religion, and I really got to the core of the meaning, which is love and simplicity and goodness of heart and the beauty of a newborn baby and the beauty of a mother's love and the beauty of a night of sheer magic raining down on earth and of a mystic. And that is what these songs are about, and that's where I'm singing them from. And it took some inner work for me to get into that space, but I definitely did it to the best of my ability. And I often would feel tears welling up while I was doing these recordings. So this album is recorded in the spirit of spirit rather than religion. It's non-denominational and it's non-religious in conception. And I really, it's encoded with the core truth that's within all religion, which is love. So no matter what your spiritual or your religious belief, this album was recorded for you if you're feeling called to it. So let's hear our last song, and then I will quickly finish up because we're nearing the end. So this song is written and performed completely by Marvin. I wanted to share this with you. It's called Snowy Hollow. Thank you. know, he wrote that song here in Michigan in a place called Sharon Hollow, which is really near where we live now and where I visit with him all the time. We go for drives and walks out there, and it's just pretty amazing to be in this land and nature where we really feel like the music wants to come forth from us. It's so nature-based for us and so tied up with the seasons, and I love it. So let's just end this call with calling forth that space that we went into when we went into the meditation a little bit back. So just feeling yourself in your seat or your position wherever you are, and taking some deep breaths, just being in your body, just being simple for a moment. That was the catchword of this call. I probably used it 50,000 times, simple. And call forth the wisdom and the help that you would like to call forth, whether it's your spiritual teachers, sages, guides, angels, source energy, your own wisdom, your higher self, and ask for help. Ask for this wisdom that is in and around us to speak through your voice and to work with your voice to become more embodied. And so the sounds that you make when you're speaking with people are more healing for yourself and others, and they're more present in the world. And the sounds that you make are more present in the world and woven with love and with sonic blessings. And I'm sending you so much love through the holidays and, of course, beyond, and really wishing you well on your journey and hoping that you will find your voice unfettered and free. Namaste, and many, many, many blessings to you.